Blog Talk Radio.
Second, please. Let's see. Hi, yes, this is Blog Talk Radio show today. The host, my name is comedian Organic OK, and this actual show platform was created so the harvest and the actual lifestyle and the actual nourishment that you need for your harvest to be healthy emotionally and physically, this is something that we have to invest in as we invest in health in the actual elements of growing greater moments. And this show platform is an extension to the things that we are putting out to the world. And I went about this actual platform a little while ago to actually see how this actual harvest is actually coming about. As this harvest grows fruit, someday this actual fruit that's on these fruit trees will be all the effort that we collectively put together. And I like to say thank you. I like to say thank my actual guests. Today, guests we actually have on this show program, we have two guests, and our two guests are invited with Organic Welcoming. Thank you, guests, for participating in this show program today. Today we're talking about Saturday. And everybody, for those out there, I hope you are having some moments of time to give yourself freedom and allow yourself to grow in a vibration level, and you will be able to be more rewarding to your time that is coming together in others' times. That time just repeats in better moments. So first off, what I like to do is give my guests the time to introduce themselves. And the first guest, if we will go with the elder of the actual room is James.
Well, hello. My name is James. Call 32-CRCCM. And the elder in the community of Bay Area. And I've done a few things in life, and I don't know what to talk on.
We'll see. Oh, okay. Let me cut you short for a moment. I just want you to introduce yourself at this time. I will get back to elements of the conversation of what your organic of your roots have allowed us the compost bin to be fuel for our actual discussion. I'm going to get back with you shortly. Now, I'd like to introduce our next guest. Her name is Tina, and I'd like to say, first off, Tina, thank you for coming back again. We enjoyed your presence, and we'd like to say thank you. Welcome again.
Thank you so much for having me. My name is Tina. I am a writer, and I really do like this platform. That it's organic, and that people can reach something that's within themselves, and that's what I'm trying to do, is just become authentic, you know.
All right, you're very welcome, and James, I wanted to allow you the actual time to speak on what you were speaking on, but I wanted to give you something a more enhanced moment, so we can. Talk about some of the things that we're reflecting through, okay? For myself, as being the actual host and being the person that is putting together the conversation in Harvest, and one of the things that I look at is when we are giving somebody a gift or giving something that is supposed to help them, they're supposed to be able to see that too. It's supposed to be reflection, right? So it's so helpful when we are helping somebody, it's help. But can you say, oh, I helped you, and the person is not really perceiving that they feel like, you know, it's something else. And so in this capacity, whoever is getting the message and getting the purpose in the conversation, I'll just say thank you. First thing, I need you to understand where you went in your life and where your journey is taking you, right? This is supposed to be an enhanced moment to reflect, right? So when you say, I want to be free, what do you define as being free? Are you out of your problems? Are you in the wilderness as you will be in the landscape of acres of land in the wild of your spirit? Are you able to sense the senses of greatness that's unfolding in your idea? If you are enhancing that moment and you got so much luxury in your mind, as you would go to a library and you'll say, what books I look at? If you got that much index of information that is category laid down at time, maybe you can reflect on that moment as you're reflecting by yourself to others, giving others the opportunity to reorganize the spirit of greater moment from some of the information you have. I like to say out there, all the indigos that have the ability to see, prophecy, prophesize, mediums that out there creatively able to tap into those that's not here and able to see and help and really give the actual highlight of a birthday party to connect with the deeper purpose and the marketing spirit of these different people. It's so important as you see this journey unfold. It's so important that you take the time to give somebody just a little bit of that. You see that? Just help a person out. So many people don't understand the ability and what that enhanced in that actual trailer that you have connected them to another part of greater moments. I just want to take that time to say, put that out there. Allow people to have a little bit more peace of mind. You know, they don't always know that you have the exception to give because some of the uniforms that they have been taught, they have never been taught that person would be that free and look so many different type of ways, you know. And that is something that we as people, we're trying to get more closer to. As we see, it's a mental nutrition, right? So you are helping people get closer and closer and closer to the meaning that what we actually look at this third hand celebrity status, right? This is third. It's a third level because when all the people that's connecting, it takes all those people to make that megastar, all these people involving that investment. So I'm saying if we all invest as we invest in investments that are valuable, then we see we are the key. We're the key person that's being undermined and not being spoke upon. So when we do this, we put more vibration level into the internal and investment into the life where birth is. It would be more that we're feeding the birth as a part of a connection that's deeper than we want to actually be clear to share in our imagination. It will carry that vision. It will carry that life. I just wanted to take the time to tell you that you are not in the place where we don't see the urgency in your importance. Maybe we are a little bit too like a wedgie on your spirit. You understand that wedgie is a part of the tickleness of your funny bone in your body that's reflecting in greater moments. I like to go back and take the time and say, all my participating guests for taking the time out of their vibration level of tasks that they could be doing and say thank you. And I wanted to go back to you for a moment, if you don't mind, James. Have that pushed anything in your mind that you wanted to give to the actual viewers at this time?
Well, starting from right now, today, obviously one of the most important days for the community, the Black community in particular, is to take care of our health. Our health is our wealth. If we want to do fine things, be fine-tuned. We need a fine-tuned body. Fine-tuned body gives off a higher vibration. We connect better that interferes. So we tune our body up in our minds with the right information. We stick and ask where we are with today and yesterday and where we want to go tomorrow. So today, what we do today determines where we're going tomorrow. We're doing good things, we're high vibration today, we carry things tomorrow. Because our breath, you know, we breathe into things, so things come alive. And they come alive with what we do. We bring it into life. So that's the best way I can see myself today. Looking back on years that I have lived, is our health is still our wealth. We can see it play out today now with the people getting sick. We have so many underlying issues in the black community. So we can eat less food, eat the best food. I think it helps sustain us. So we get to a point in our lives where our frequency is, and we get to understand better what's going on. Not make us free. When we all should be free. So I end with that right there.
Okay. I'll just say, so have you always seen this part of your vision? And when did you actually begin this actual, you know, investment into your vision?
Well, it goes back a long way. I guess when I was about 5, 6 years old, I started asking myself questions. Of course, I didn't know what the right questions to ask other people. So it took me a long time to formulate, you know, why I'm at today. So I did things in my life that kept me a free thinker, not trying to get things imposed upon me, such as some doctrine or doctrination that people accept, that I refuse to accept without question. Some things I have to get along with because I'm here under the system, but I always have questions. And I try to keep my body together because the body is what God gave me. So it's my treasure to take care of it. And always come through this time of like we're being oppressed. So I want to know how we're being oppressed. I heard that black people were great at one time. Well, what happened? How did we become ungreat? So these are the questions that I had growing up and the questions that I saw answers for. Like, who am I? Why am I here? Those have always been my questions all my life. And I showed up on the answers, but some of them answered for me.
Okay.
The thing is, black people, which I'm part of, with a certain economic position in this country and throughout the world, and I don't too much like it.
Okay. That was James speaking. I'm gonna give right back to you soon. And I'm going to go to Tina right now. Tina, thank you for your time and your patience, your vibration level of being on the show. Would you like to add? I would like you to add into your experience and what I had to say. What is your actual intake of your life?
Yes, thank you. I am kind of like James, you know, there comes a point in your life, and I don't think it's a certain age that you get to. I think that there's just a point in your life where you stop and you say, what am I doing? You know, what does this look like for me? You know, and sometimes it is like, you know, a health condition. You know, you might not be feeling well. Sometimes it's a loss of a loved one, you know, and it could be just, you know, you wake up one morning and, you know, you're wondering, you know, what is this, you know? And so I found that in my spirit at a young age. When I was young, you know, I knew that I didn't want to be just like ordinary people. I knew that I wanted to be spiritually wealthy. That was a conversation I had with God. And this was even before I knew what the spirit or what wealth really was. I was just young, and I was observing something, you know, that was going on outside of my house. And I just looked at this group of people, and I said, you know, I would like to be spiritually wealthy, you know. And now that I'm older and I'm thinking back, you know, about those things that I said, well, Lord, I like money too, you know. So it's not just, you know, that I'm working on the spirit, but, you know, what I learned from that is that there is something that happens inside of an individual. And, you know, we can't tell you when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And you might be at that point right now, you know, where you're saying, you know, what does my life look like? You know, who are these people that are around me? What do I have to give to the world? You know, how am I treating myself? You know, and so I piggyback on what James said, and I think that's important. You know, health is wealth.
How old was you when you recognized these components in life? And where did you find some sense of wealth consulting from the vibration level in your life to see these things as they unfolded?
I was about 9 years old, and I'm my mother's only daughter. She has three brothers, and I'm the only girl, so I had my own room. And our next-door neighbors used to always have cocktail parties, and they would have them out in their backyard. You know, they'd dress up in fancy dresses, you know, and they'd have, like, I hear the glasses clinging and see champagne. And I was peeking out my window, you know, and I'd always watch them. And just one day I said to myself, you know, I want it more than that. You know, I want it more than that. I just had this sense that there was more than that out there for me, you know. And so I started this journey. You know, I used to read books. And I was, when the other kids my age were playing, I was in my room reading books that, you know, about motivation, reading books about, you know, how to get in touch with self. There were self-help books at the time. They called them self-help books. I would, like, go to the library and look under self-help and read all the books that I could. You know, so I started this journey. And then as I got older, you know, it became more intense. It became more about me and not just about what I was reading. It became about what I was seeing, you know, and those are life-changing moments, you know. And that's what I experienced.
Was it any moment in when you actually read these books, did you have anybody to talk to understand what you read? Because at that age of nine, did you understand more than what you actually read? Or because that's a component that people can read, but they don't necessarily understand what they read.
What it was is what I was reading was exciting me. It was taking me out of myself. It was exciting me. You know, it was like, wow, this is what my brain can do. You know, it excited me. So it was kind of like I started to feed myself with this, you know, and I got full of it. Huh?
Did you ever, as you were reading these information, did you actually want about asking the questions? Did you ask people questions regards to what you read? Did you know who to ask questions or? Where did that message go with you as you actually went about obtaining the knowledge? Did you go to anybody that had the actual?
Yeah, it's funny you ask that question because I didn't ask anyone, but people would come into my life. You know, people would come into my life like the teachers, you know, relatives that were in my life, and they would say certain things that just confirmed the things that I was reading. I never asked anyone, and I never asked anyone, is this right or is this wrong? It's kind of like, and you know it, like if you're, there is a part in us that knows the truth, okay, regardless of all the lies that we hear, all the misconceptions, there is a part in our gut, in our core body, that knows what the truth is. And a lot of times we'll hear the truth and we'll say, oh, no, you know, or we'll doubt it and we'll ask for confirmation, you know, we'll say, oh, does somebody else feel the same thing? You know, because we're questioning that truth. I learned not to question that truth. I learned that that was my truth, and nobody told me that it wasn't. You know what I'm saying? No one that I went to told me, oh, you know, leave those books alone, or no, that's not as such. No one told me that, you know. So I held on to it, and I kept, go ahead.
So what tends to happen so often in people's journeys, when they are pushing the envelope, they're changing so many things that have been preconceived and reserved for a certain, you know, social groups, certain ageism, certain, you know, foundations that people have been accustomed to. What you did was you create another component to greater space in the actual growth. And what happens at that point of the altitude of the wealth is even more wealth. Right, so you having a component where your wealth as a child. See, what happens is so often you have children that's born with this natural ability. You know, even kids that center maybe known as having ability less. What happens is when you trigger that actual ability within anybody, regards to, you know, the physical or emotional quote unquote limitation, it actually. It reconnects and it reboots in this actual solar system of a mind. And it actually, when people think that you are being, in a sense, maxed out, you get another altitude. And you start becoming at another level, and you start becoming this like another level, and you start you roll it till the actual spirit and the harvest. You be doing things that people have no understanding on how you got to that. And that's a greater growth in growth.
Yeah. You know, and then I had a good, my mom also told me, you know, she's like, you can do this, or this is you. I would take pictures and say, oh, I don't like the way I look. My nose is too big. I would say that. My nose is too big. I don't like the way I look. And she said, this is you. You know, when I was in high school and I wanted to write, you know, I had a teacher who told me, you can do anything you put your mind to. And it's like those things, I took them and I ran with them. You know, everything positive that I heard as a kid, I ran with it. You know, I didn't question it. So
that is something. There's something within that, because what you do, it doesn't go unmentioned in the actual footprints, in the actual life, in the actual soul conversation. What you did was you sparked the conversation through the vibration level. And what it's going to do, it's going to spin something. It's going to make something created. Because you created it in the sense. And that vibration level is going to spin, and it's going to come back, and what happens is, as like fruit tree, it seasons when that actual fruit tree is actually going to reharvest. And it's something in your birth, what you're doing is you're connecting to other vibration levels and other times that are allowing the growth be more than what the growth is limited by in the actual conversation. And that vibration level is going to move through the time. After you have people, when they're talking, that say something today and may say it years and years ago, and it still is important, like it just became the first day of birth, is because they resonate deeper than the actual, you know, superficial level. And that allows some people that may not say much, but when they say something, it's a lot of conversation in that one word they say to you. And that's what I see from you. I see a lot of importance. This is the time where I'm going to take the time to reboot the actual vibration level for those that are going through a process. I'm not sure in this time what you're dealing with personally. I know everybody is going through different levels of oppositions. But in your opposition of what happens so often, the worst moment in your life, you find out the best gifts you ever get is in the worst moment in your life sometimes. And in the best moment of your life, the worst things that happen come out of those moments. It's shedding, because the person that is receiving it, that is planting life in the actual harvest for them to come up and get the vibration level of what came out of that. And then the other way is where it's being pushed in to the actual soil, where it's going to harvest again for those that need that at that time. So we are always giving and taking in life from a natural aspect. and it feels like muscles growing, right? Your muscle's so sore, you know, oh, I don't know if I can work out any longer. But once that muscle grow, you have more strength. You know, it's investment. And our life is invested before we invest it. So we have the wealth that we inherited. You know, you're looking through that. I would like to take this time to go back to James. James, hey, let me ask you this question. In your life, did you have the actual time to spend time with your actual greater moments and recognize people that gave you wisdom and how that wisdom was connected to your motivation?
Well, what I see it is being connected to wisdom comes with doing. Because to me, I know what I know. That's all I really know. And what I really know is I lived. I had that experience. I lived within me. This is what I know. Everything outside of me is a learning process. I reject some things that have value to it, and others I throw aside have less value to it. Some things are shady and crooked. I try to stay away from those things. I see some people who have information, they're kind, and they're genuine, and want to share the good information they have with their good people. But I met a lot of people like this in life, from all walks of life. My main thrust is understanding the Creator outside of me and the Creator inside of me and how they connect. That's obligated in style, find some salvation, understanding, and value. And the questions I can always ask. And so my value is my orientation to myself, universe, and everything in the universe, where my judgment is based upon the laws of nature as I understand them to be. And I understand them to be from my years of experience of knowing, for example, like polarity, the laws of polarity is, you know, on one side one thing and on the other side another thing. But there's always two sides, whatever it is.
Can you explain to
always opposition.
Those, can you explain to those in more in depth on what they mean?
In my understanding, the universe is balance. You know, everything is balanced in the universe, everything has its opposition, its opposites. The simple way I see it is, you know, negative and positive charges on each different sides. And it's a bonding process. But also there's two sides of my body, left side and right side, left side and right side of my brain. There's up and down. You know, that's to the left and to the right. That's the front and the back. These are all opposites. This is kind of where I kind of look at things in terms of understanding balance. You know, within this balance, I see myself understanding the movements of, you know, in this world, where I see it,
okay,
only move certain directions.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
So the object is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. I'd like you to finish what you just said, and then I ask you that after you're done.
Okay. All I'm saying basically is, like, for me, we are spirits in a body. There's no time limit. The spirit in us has no limit. Everything is possible in our mind, our imagination, that we can't.
I'm going to stop you right there. because the question I'm asking is going to get too far wrapped around a lot of questions I want to ask you. So the first thing I'm going to ask you is regards to your brain, okay? As you're thinking what you're thinking at this moment, do you think you're thinking from the right side of the brain, or are you thinking from the left side of your brain, or is it falling under your back? Is it the back side of your memory in your brain in the wisdom? Where do you think you're thinking this information from?
Well, it was in my brain, so I couldn't tell you which side I'm speaking to you right now. I might use some vibrations from the left side to the right side. But they say the left side is the analytical part, and the right side is the imaginary part.
Well, what about the back side?
Well, the back side is, they call it some stuff to the back, but most stuff is in the front, the funnel.
So the front part of the brain.
The back side the back side, since you mentioned it, I never thought about it. I guess it kind of ties stuff together, you know. Mm-hmm. The connection. And the front side is the frontal part that's seen in new older critical thinking.
Right. So it's four parts.
The way I see it, it's like movement. I see movement in seven ways. And I experience this with my own body, rebuilding my body. And the movement I'm talking about is, I see movement is up, down, left to the right, to the front to the back. And the seventh will be circular. That's why I see movement on all planes. Whether it be the physical, the mind, whatever, you know, that's why I see a movement.
Okay, I want to ask you one more question. The question I want to ask you is, if a person that don't know who they are, how do they go about looking for who they are as people? Where do they start from? If they don't know who they are, they don't know, you know, any of the family tree, or where do the people go about and how they who? Where will they start from? Is it a way that you can give people some idea of how to go about a beginning process?
Well, for me, it's a very good question. To be truthful, I started going back into what I know in history, the first written material, you know, find out what was being said in ancient times. And so by going back and looking for the materials, took me to Egypt. And in Egypt, there's a lot of documentation about the Nile Valley, great civilizations. This is where I go back to get valid information. It's where the world goes back and basically looks at valid information or some of it. So in reading, I understand some of it. Some of it I understand as Western influence in our reading, that people are twisting things around. But at the same time, it gives me a place to go in terms of events and time. It's important that we say events and time. Because sometimes we start thinking, and everything's all together. Back in time, things were different. You know, the writing was different. The conversation was somewhat different in terms of expression. But yet, that's how I go back to find out about black people. Because if I'm looking, yeah, because the Western people are going to make sure you understand who they are. They're going to tell you everything about them, and more so in terms of when you go to school, off from school, whatever level you're at, they're going to teach you about Greek, Roman history. They're going to teach you that. But if you want to find out who we are as black people, you got to go back to these independent studies, right to the Nile Valley. I suppose we can go back in terms of documentation.
Okay, thank you. I actually want to, before I go back to what I want to introduce in a short moment, I want to go back to Tina for a moment, if you don't mind, Tina.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go.
Sure.
Just want to ask you, when you was becoming a young adult, say your teen years in your life, as you move through your divine wealth of your inheritance, what you carrying in your mind when you was about 17 or 19 years old? What do you think at that point in time you seen at that point?
Well, that was that's a good question, and this is a real deep conversation. That was a very important time in my life because that's when, for the first time, I saw racism. You know, it's very important how we are programming our kids, whether we, you know, want to use that term programming or not. But we put into our kids, you know, we give them foundation, you know, we give them solidness so that when they go out in the world, they can present themselves and be confident in themselves. Well, I had all of that, but then when I saw racism, you know, and I'm a teenager. I'm like 16, 17 years old, and I'm really seeing racism. I mean, I heard it, you know, and I've seen it on TV, but it wasn't in my family. It wasn't knocking on my door. But when it started to knock on my door, it freaked me out. I could not understand why people were treating me bad because of the way I looked, you know, and I was angry.
Okay.
You know,
I want to ask you this. I don't want you to forget to train your thought. But I just want to ask you, can you explain to those that don't understand the difference between prejudice and racist?
Sure. I think when someone is prejudiced, I think that those are things that they were taught, and that they express those in the way as which they are saying that you are not already, they say you are not better, you're not as good as they are. They've already labeled you. They put you, like if they have a measuring stick, they've already measured you out, and they're anticipating what you're going to do. Whether you do it or not, they have a stigma on you, and you're going to do it. You know, I think that's racism. I mean, that's prejudice. Racism is, I think that's more, that could be cultural or it can be systemic, you know, which means it can happen. Racism can happen in your own community, you know. Racism can happen outside of your community. But prejudice, that doesn't usually happen in your community. That usually happens outside of your community.
So when you was dealing with racism, did the racism ever at any time feel like you could see the forms of prejudice kind of like married in with racism? Did you see that, or is this strictly?
I see it merging.
So you know, when you
sociologists, sociologists will tell you that there is a difference, you know, but it does merge. It really does merge. And then the person that's being affected on the receiving end of all of it, you know, that person is a little bit confused, you know, thinking that you can do everything and then being told, oh, no, you can't do that. And not because you're not capable, but because how you look. That's not proper. That's not proper for you. We don't expect that out of you. We expect you to do the opposite, you know.
What else did you, like, as being? Go ahead. I'm listening.
No, go ahead.
As being a woman and being a young adult, did you notice other components of prejudice as sexism, prejudice that you had faced too as being a young adult?
To give you an example, my mom was married to my dad, and then they got separated. my dad has this thing that he says, one wife for life. So even though he was separated to my mom, they were still legally married. So she went to look for a house. We've always lived in houses, right? So she went to move. We're in Daly City. She's going to move from one house to the other. She called the people on the phone. My mom has a very professional voice, you know, and she's a professional type woman, businesswoman, you know. She worked for the IRS. She worked for UCSF. So she calls and she says, hey, I want to look at the house. And the guy says, great, you sound like a perfect tenant. Come on by. My mom is fair-skinned. Okay, and she colors her hair blonde. So, you know, she takes me. I'm brown skinned. And she takes me and we go to the rental place. And the guy kind of looks at me and he looks at my mom and he says, can I help you? And she said, yes, I'm so-and-so and I'm here to look at the house. He takes a book and he flips through the pages, not even stopping to look at the page. He flips through the page and said, oh, it's been rented. And she says, well, you haven't even looked at the place. He says, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, it's been rented. And me, I was like, you know, I wanted to say something, but I didn't know what to say. I'm 16 years old. I'm 16, you know, and I wanted to say something, you know, at that time, but I didn't. And my mom talked to me. She said, well, you know, that guy was, you know, he was racist. She says that he invited us here, and when he saw us, he changed his mind. And she says that the world is like this. There are people in the world like this, you know. And she gave me some words of wisdom. But that was like, you know, that was knocking on my door because I didn't think that there was a problem, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't see it as a problem, you know.
You know, it's a thing because – you know, as I see different, you know, different stories and different, you know, platforms in my life and what I'm dealing with, one of the things that is always been brought to my mind is, hey, I don't want to see you use certain types of jokes because I you know, it's like everybody said it already. Don't use the racial. Don't use no, don't do that. So it's like, it's a part of my life that I already, like, you know, when I was, you know, coming through certain capacities of life and experiences that I encountered, I was always, you know, I didn't know what prejudice was. I didn't know where racism was coming from. I didn't know. So people always were trying to dress me like, they was like trying to use me as a mannequin. They always wanted to pin new kinds of prejudice and racist idea in the actual sense. Then that charge I use me is like almost like throw fragrances on me. Like this fragrance, this looks good with this outfit. Like they always was trying to try things out with me because they didn't understand my mind. And that really put a lot of people in a very, you know, uncomfortable situation when they assume you're one way and you're opposite. And then when you leave them, leaving them with they self an unclean thing and say, hey, I'm going to be a mannequin. But mannequins are known for having brand new clothes, not dirty clothes. Mm-hmm. You start telling and pinning things on people and allow them to stand their own stink. They stink and they get to see the insecurities that they have. One of the things that I think that different time periods and, you know, different situations where you have some women, they get to a certain age, and society assumes because they're a certain age, they already should be molded enough to see this unfair bias system. They should be able to be the assistant, be the actual, you know, they say seen and not heard. You know, you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to already have enough people around you brainwashing you, oppressing you, so I don't have to even talk to you no more. You should be already neutered and trained. So you shouldn't be speaking up.
I don't want to cut you off, but just to give you an example, when you think of a family, you usually think of a man and a woman and some kids, right? Well, when I became a single parent, I knew that I was still a family, okay? But society doesn't call you that. They call you a single parent instead of calling you a family. So go ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's certain capacities of actual, you know, structure, they will reference, you know, different things. Like maybe in a household, depending on a house, maybe it's two aunties and a grandma raising a child, and they may call that a family because how the infrastructure is. Maybe there's the uncle and uncle and his child raising his kids with his parents and maybe his sibling, and they call that a family. But when a woman's by herself, they look at it because the father is not there. They look at it, okay, how can we, in the sense, how can we actually sponsor her to say, hey, that's a deadbeat dad, and let's get this dad paperwork together. Hello, man, how are you doing today? Are you ready to be sponsored by us to pitch you together with the government? And the government's going to be your lover, okay? And I want to make sure you pull all the information out. Tell us your color, your eyes, your weight, and all this, your horoscope sign. And we're going to get this deadbeat dad, right? What's his name? Oh, yeah, I know one when I see one. He's a deadbeat, okay? I don't want you trying to work this out. You tried already. He's a deadbeat dad. Hey, let's get him on his actual, you know, he needs to pay back pay. You want to get some money, and they're going to give you crumbs. Well, they keep the whole cookie. They're going to give you crumbs and throw this little bit of what's there to actually, if y'all had any chance of salvaging the actual opposition and y'all come to terms of, you know, maturity, they don't want that. They're like, no, 9 years. Oh, no. This look too much like chains of coming together. No. I'm going to give you right now. Instead of waiting on the money, I'll rush the money to you. Just sign this right here. Have you signed away? Go ahead.
That's what I was talking about when I said programming. You see, yeah. Because where I would start is I wouldn't start with where is the father. I would start with that woman. I'd say, hey, you know, you are a family. You know, you are a family. You can raise your kids, you know. Yes, there's, child support and all this stuff that, you know, the details. We can work out the details. But first I want to build her up. Because if I don't build her up, then that money is not going to solve the problem. That's only going to solve the money problems. But she's still going to have issues when she addresses her son, when she addresses her daughter. She's still going to have issues if she doesn't see that she is a family. You know,
yeah, but
she thinks, oh, I'm just a single parent getting, huh?
That's what you're creating. You're creating a sense of illusion that is not balanced, because this will happen with
exactly.
Children. Parents don't see. When a child is going to school, depending on what school they're going to, they see the parents come to parents' meetings. They see their parents' school programs after school, and they see them coming there, and they see, hey, Timmy got his – I shouldn't even say that. But the child have the mom and the dad come up there. And then when this child starts seeing all this, the child gets accustomed, right? But when the child goes to any, like, out-of-way events with maybe the friends, the girlfriends, they start seeing structure of family and seeing how it looks outside of their view. When they start scoping in and getting, here's some binoculars. So they start scoping in on what's going on. They say, oh, this is not everybody household. I've already thought this way. So when you see the kid, when I hear parents say this all the time, the mom say, I'm the mom and the dad. And when the mom say, I'm the mom and the dad, she can't actually be both. Only way she could be both is, I don't know, too many. I haven't heard too many stories, but high multidike, I don't know if she could be that tech. And only if she's a high multidike, you know. But in a realistic sense, you can't be both. You only could be one component, and doing the best job on it that they allow you to do. You can actually be exception to what the ruling is. But when it starts becoming the backtracking, people start saying, hey, anybody can get blood from? Can you get blood from your mom? Can you get blood from your dad? No, only have. Like, you start looking at the backdrop. See, things are only as good as the actual foundation of the weakest part of the actual task, right? So when you hear mothers are have an exception ability with the kids, that's not always translated to the child, right? Because the mom may do this and do that and do that, but when things come to the short end, if it's not a reinforcement backup set up, then that will actually, the child starts sliding down the hill, okay? But that reinforcement not set up, the child will start falling down the hill, and that child would actually start reaping all the back the backlash of not having that same ability as that one parent that has the infrastructure. Now, you have kids like that, well, they actually, you know, get married and move on, and they get far from the house, and they start sliding back because the relationship don't work. So it's components of that to always kind of come back. The child is looking, normally the child, the girls, a lot of times are looking for a guy that reflects like their father. But when they don't have a reflection like their father, depending on whatever that vision is created, they start looking for that image, creating a guy that fit the image of the daddy they're looking for, you know. So in so many ways, you know, parents, you know, they try to look for things in their understanding based on what they had. And that is, within reason, an understanding, but that's not the whole picture. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me. I'm just wondering what James feels, how he feels about the subject.
James.
Yes, sir.
What is your viewpoint about the single parent and how that actually look?
I haven't grown up basically from my mother. Some mothers say they're on the mother and the father. They're genuine, like I said. I got the father guy here, so I got to be the father too.
Yeah.
You know, and not about trying to be sexist, change sexes, but you are the person there. And you're not the male, but you're the female, and you're doing the best you can do. You can't replace the man because you're not a man. But at the same time, some of the things that a man was doing, you try to do because your child needs it. And so you got to be the mother and the father. That's all you can think of. What does my child need? And you try to satisfy that need. Like I said, my mother raised me, basically, all of us. You know, so I got great respect for my mother and all women.
And I'm not saying it's like it's easy or I could be the man, because I was married. You know, I was married for 13 years, and so my kids know their dad, so that's not the issue, with, you know, personally. But what I learned as a single parent raising boys is that God gives you the wisdom. I swear to goodness, God gives you the wisdom. He really does. He teaches you some things that you can share with your boys that are pertinent to them being men. You know, he gives you some wisdom, you know, and, you know, we need to just, like, we're going back to, you know, being our organic, you know, and just trusting ourselves and knowing that, you know, it's going to be all right, because he does give you the wisdom, you know, just like he gives men, like I have men friends that are single parents, quote unquote, and they're raising girls and their sons, you know. And I just, when I first, you know, met a guy who was a single parent, I was like giving him all sorts of accolades, like, oh, yeah, bless you, you're such a good man. Because, you know, I knew that it took, you know, as much as it took in me to be, you know, to give those skills or those things to my sons, it took him the same thing to give those skills to his daughter. You know, and I gave him all sorts of accolades. I was like, oh, yes, you're such a great man, because, you know, you stepped out on faith and you're raising three kids, you know. And so that's just going back to, like, you know, trusting what's inside of you, because you are not your circumstances. You know, you're not the labels that they put on you. You're much greater than that. You know, but in order to know what that greatness is, you have to take a seat in your own life. And be the, you know, observer, watching what's going on. You know,
you know, it's a saying that I hear quite a bit in different cases, where people say, how can you tell somebody how to do something when you never went through it? People say it all the time, like, how can you tell somebody how to raise kids? How can you tell somebody how to be married if you've never been married before? You know, people say these things all the time, and I don't think it takes marriage necessarily to understand what's going on, but they would tolerate or wouldn't tolerate to a degree. And people learn how to, you know, become better from trial and error at times, but sometimes people are like Safat. Some people just do things great without even having to practice doing it. And I see, you know, and one of the things I want to do, because we are wrapping up the show, we have about 4 minutes before the show is actually wrapped up. But one of the things I want to go into is how can we, as coming from different times and having different circumstances that's unfolding, how can we take all the wisdom that we have accumulated through this period of time in life and make them better situations and not carry the past and use that as a template to kind of hinder the actual greater moments that we're actually able to see even moving forward. Start with you, Tina, and I'm going to go to James.
Something like what we talked about earlier, you know, it's just knowing that, you know, your mind is very precious. You know, and, you know, if you want to be healthy in life and understand these things that are happening in your life, you need to feed yourself. You need to feed your soul, you know, and you need to feed it, you know, healthy foods, healthy things, you know, not literal food, but spiritual food.
Okay. Thank you. James, I'm going to ask you the same question.
Well, it's like I agree with what Tina just said. Providing ourselves with a healthy nourishment, physical and mentally, give us a chance to heal from inside, stop mistrusting ourselves, start trusting ourselves, and maybe loving ourselves more, we can love people around us that we care for more. And that's what it is right there. That's that's a healing process that we need to go through to make ourselves better and the people around us better. You know, will they be our children, our parents, or whatever, friends, our neighbors, or whatever. You know, we need healthy people.
This is Comedian OK. And this show is called Certifying the Greatest Within. We run into the end of the show, and I wanted to say a few words before I actually get off here. One of the things you must understand as we pass wisdom, pass actual information, and pass it over as we prepared, you must understand how much is needed for that person to actually achieve the task that's needed from them to accomplish what is going on in their life. I feel at times so often that we take the route of evolving selfish ways as more like investments that are kind of like campaigns that's stealing from you, just give you trash paper in bulletin board form. And I feel like when we take that and give it to the people, then the people truly get what they need. And we actually make the most of what we have. I like to say this is Comedian OK. And I'd like to say thank my guests. I'd like to thank James. I'd like to thank Tina for actually being a part of this actual show platform today. And it's so reflecting in the moments, in the time that we actually get to actually enjoy each other's company. Thank everybody. And stay tuned to next episode next Saturday. Thank everybody, and talk with you soon. Take care. Yes. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay, so I just the program, that program is over. James, you still here? Okay, James hung up. Okay. He didn't know about staying on the phone still. But so what is your understanding about the actual show platform? No one else showed up, but I kind of at the end I kind of got that. But when they didn't call back initially, when I called them several times, that was, you know, like I say, you get a little simple thing about like when they don't want to do something, they show you I'm not interested in something. And that's, you know, and we are the we had an actual platform where people had an opportunity, you know, now they can text you back saying, you know, but when people don't want to do something, they say that I got busy. That's saying, you know, in some levels, you can see the difference between how people move up in success and certain things and others that kind of fall by the wayside because they're not in purpose. And that's good because when you get people way out the way that is not meant to do something, you get to the people that are meant to do something. And that's all what it comes down to. So what did you take from the show today?
Oh, gosh, it was really positive. I don't know how it's going to sound. You're going to be the judge of that and let us know. But I think it was really positive, and I like Jane's spirit. I like the way I wish she was a little bit louder, but I like, you know, I could, my phone, probably my phone. But I really do like the way that you narrated the conversation, how you kept us on track, you know, and how you asked questions that made us probe, you know. It was really good. It was really, I think so.
Okay. what do you feel about coming back next week? What do you feel about coming back next week?
Sure. If you want me, I'll come back next week. I mean, this is good for me, too. Like you said, okay, this is, helping me as much as it might be helping someone else.
Yeah, that's definitely important because every start pitting together and like really seeing the actual, you know, like turnaround. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Huh?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hello?
Uh-huh, okay. I can hear you now.
Okay. So when we actually turn around the actual ability, you know, in full depth of what's going on, it's going to be a lot bigger, you know. If you stay in here for the next couple months and just tune up a few things, tune up what listeners start listening. Because what happens is when listeners start listening, things, the inventory of what's going on, it starts to change, right? So the inventory of what's going on, it starts becoming more aligned into your purpose, into what you're saying. And now when we start asking, people start asking questions. They're asking questions based on what they feel comfortable with connecting with you on, right? So it's like, hey, I like these cookies you made. Oh, I like this cake you baked. You know, it's emotionally, right? So an emotional connection that people get.
They want the recipe.
They want the recipe, yeah. So that's when they feel more comfortable asking you questions. Now it's like you're just trying to, in the sense that, get your bearings together and really, like, sharpen your tools and your trade. But people are wanting to, you know, ask you all kinds of questions that they feel confident about your actual, you know, the way you're telling them and how they apply those things, because that's so important, you know. So that's the thing. If we could do the same time, 4 o'clock rehearsal, and then if you can be on the line for the actual conference line at about 5:45. To about 5:50, then we should be good next week, and I have more guests next week.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, take care. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye bye.
All right.